Bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Revelation chapter 12. In verse 11, the Word of God says that they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb. There's 3 points to overcoming the devil, and the first one is the blood of the Lamb. The order is important. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Why did they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb? Because of Revelation 12:10. The accuser of the brethren had been cast down, and he accused them before God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. What did the devil accuse them of? Well, if they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, then he accused them of sin. Just like he did with Joshua in the filthy garments. And God said to him, "Is this not a brand plucked out of the fire?" And God used that opportunity to give Joshua a new life. And so even though Satan attacked, Joshua became an overcomer. How? By the blood of the Lamb. Because God's blood had cleansed him from all unrighteousness. And in the case of Joshua, it wasn't so much that he was a wicked man. People often preach this like Joshua was a backslidden, wicked high priest who was very worldly in his lifestyle. But that's not actually what it says. Joshua was raised in Babylon. Joshua the high priest was a man who had been raised and established in a pagan culture. Yet at the same time, he had enough of a love for God that despite his upbringing, despite his culture, despite his surroundings, he would be a high priest unto God. That high priest was one of the olive branches of Israel. And so what we see is an accusation made against Joshua because of the detail of his life. But Joshua was a brand plucked out of fire, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And when that accusation came, the blood caused Joshua to overcome the devil. And God changed Joshua's garments. He had an angel give him new garments. That means a new lifestyle. Angels came and ministered to Joshua because of the accusation that Satan made against him. And it works like that with us. Angels come and minister to us when there are accusations against us. And we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb. Why do we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb? Well, in Hebrews 11:27, the Word of God says that by faith Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroy the firstborn should touch them. Now, we had just finished speaking about entering into grace through faith. This is how we enter into that grace. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And so, by the blood of the Lamb, my conscience is cleansed. The sin that really devastates a person often is not the actual physical outward sin. I mean, yes, that can certainly have extremely damaging results, and we don't want that in our lives. But really, when a believer falls or fails, the sin that's profoundly damaging is the one that comes afterwards. The one that is the sin added to the sin. You see, the first one in and of itself can be destructive, yes. We definitely want to keep that away from us. But once it does happen, the one that becomes incapacitating is the second sin. The one where we fail to overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb. The just man falls 7 times but gets up again. But the wicked falls and stays in his mischief. The wicked person falls and doesn't get up again. The wicked person falls and then becomes self-oriented. And the way that they become self-oriented was because they did not appropriate the blood of the Lamb. And so in all things, we appropriate the blood of the Lamb. Remember something. Sin is not necessarily outward. The bulk of sin in our lives, and in some cases the most damaging sin in our lives, is not outward sin. It is lack of faith. Because whatever is not of faith is sin. And so the things that may be perfectly reasonable, we establish a standard apart from grace. And even if we establish the standard apart from grace, if we could be related properly to the blood of the Lamb, the standard apart from grace could not touch us. Because the blood of the Lamb cleanses us from all sins. And so we know that we can overcome the accusation of the devil by appropriating in our lives the blood of the Lamb. Yet people become completely incapacitated because they fail to appropriate that blood. Why does anyone feel less than? Because they fail to appropriate the blood. You see, here's the thing. The blood cleanses us. That means it also cleanses and purges my conscience. It cleanses and purges my memory. It cleanses and purges my lifestyle. It cleanses and purges my identity. So in all things, I overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Satan has really, ultimately, only very limited strategy. He doesn't have a large repertoire of tools, of strategies. He has very limited in his strategies. His strategy is accusation and deception. That's it. Accusation and deception. He is the accuser of the brethren, he is a liar and the father of all lies. Those are his strategies. There's nothing new under the sun. And so what Satan does in a person's life is he'll say, you came up short. Now here's the thing. There was nothing to come up short against. If I'm going to say I came up short, then there must be some sort of a level or standard or something that I came up short regarding. You see, that is the deception. The accusation is you came up short. The deception is that there is a standard that you could have come up short against. How does a person come up short against grace? Now, we can fail the grace of God by not appropriating the grace of God. But that's the only way that we came up short. And Satan is not going to accuse me, you failed to appropriate the grace of God. You should go and appropriate the grace of God. No, he wants to keep me from the grace of God. He's going to say, you failed to appropriate the standards. You fail to appropriate the norms. You fail to appropriate expectations. But those things are not God. And so people walk around in guilt for sin that hasn't actually taken place. Because we're very good at establishing rules and standards and precepts that God never gave. And so we get into this situation where we don't appropriate the blood, and therefore the deception holds. See, if I simply am mistaught, for example, and I'm a legalistic believer, and I have all these standards that I'm trying to live up to, how do I deal with that? Well, I need to be taught correctly. That's most certainly true. However, if that stuff has taken root, and maybe I've grown up in it or had years in that, that's going to permeate. How do I deal with it? You appropriate the blood of the Lamb. Until I can learn how to think correctly, I can exercise faith toward the blood. And faith toward the blood causes me to be passed over. In other words, I'm not going to live in worldliness. I'm not going to live in the guilt of worldliness. I'm not going to live in the effects of Egypt, even though I may still have Egyptian clothing on because of the blood of the land. This is what happened with Joshua. Joshua was immersed in a culture that was heathenistic, but Joshua received the benefit of the blood of the Lamb. And even though, because of what he was brought up in, his life wasn't necessarily outwardly according to God's ways, but the blood of the Lamb removed the effect of that and dealt with it for him until he had the ability to be properly trained in the Word of God. Angels came to minister it to him, and then he had the proper life with God. We're the same way. Let's say somebody has old lines of thinking, the old burdens, old weaknesses, whatever it may be, it doesn't matter so long as we appropriate the blood of the Lamb, because the blood of the Lamb is what keeps me from the effects of those things. Satan cannot accuse me when I appropriate the blood of the Lamb. There's nothing in my life that he can point a finger toward, because I've appropriated the blood of the Lamb. And so, when I appropriate the blood of the Lamb, maybe I do live in weakness, or maybe I do live in ignorance, or maybe I do live in failure from time to time, or maybe I do, maybe my lifestyle is not what it ought to be with God. But as I am growing, and I'm not saying that we should be satisfied in that, but as we are growing, we appropriate the blood of the Lamb. Because the blood cleanses me from the effects of all my sins. So I trust the blood. I trust the blood. I trust the effect of the blood, and I accept what it has done for me. And so we don't have to live in the effect of anything. We don't have to live in the effect of mistakes. We don't have to live in the effect of sin. Here's another one. We don't have to live in the effect of somebody else's expectations or laws or standards apart from the Word of God toward us. How many people, have you ever heard this? Well, that's not very Christian-like. Well, what is Christian-like? What does that mean to be Christian-like? Does that mean that I follow the Mosaic Law? Is that Christian-like? Well, the strength of sin was in that Mosaic Law. So tell me, what is it that's Christian-like? Christian-like is this: love mercy, do justly, walk humbly. What does it mean, do justly? Well, I have to be a good man. No, it means I appropriate the finished work. I appropriate the blood of the Lamb for myself and for you, and now I am doing justly. It's Micah 6:8. And so that's what it means to be Christian-like. So when I have these things in my life, I overcome the devil through the blood of the Lamb. The devil cannot throw a single accusation against the blood. The devil has no foothold where there's an appropriation and an application of the blood. Destruction cannot touch me where there is the blood on my doorpost. We live with the blood on our doorposts. In other words, you can't come in, devil. There's blood on this door. And he cannot touch it. He can do absolutely nothing with it. He can't throw an accusation against it. Why? Because the blood has removed our sins, because it cleansed us from those sins. So there is no foundation, no basis of accusation. The only reason he made an accusation against Joshua is because Joshua had a Babylonian upbringing. But at the same time, the blood of the Lamb would not allow his accusation to stand. And so that accusation was known in heaven, but it was not known to Joshua. What was known to Joshua is that he was starting to grow. Why was he starting to grow? Because of the blood of the Lamb. First and foremost, the blood of the Lamb. Every believer should get to know the effects of the blood of the Lamb. Something happened in your life. Somebody did something bad to you. Maybe you did something bad. Appropriate the blood of the Lamb. Somebody else fails and now it bothers you. Appropriate the blood of the Lamb. Think of yourself in the finished work and think of the other person in the finished work. Think of both of you in the finished work because both of them are the reality. You always appropriate the blood of the Lamb. Doesn't matter how big, doesn't matter how small, you always appropriate the blood of the Lamb. How many people say, well, I blew that one? Says who? Appropriate the blood of the Lamb. You see, there is no accusation. I blew that one is a self-accusation. Who do you think gave you that self-accusation? But the atmosphere whispering in your ear, you blew that one. Oh, I blew that one. And you're agreeing with it. Never agree with anything that is contrary to the blood of the Lamb. Never agree with anything that is contrary to the blood of the Lamb. But we agree with it all the time. That's why we have guilt. That's why we have condemnation. That's why we have self-righteousness. That's why we have accusation. That's why we have bitterness. That's why we have jealousies and envies and strife and all the things that come from the wisdom from below in James chapter 3. Because of the blood of the Lamb, we don't have to live in any of those things. You appropriate the blood of the Lamb and you're free. That's it right there. Christ came to set us free. How do I get set free? By having the burdens removed. By the things that chain me, I remove the chains. And I'm set free. How does he restore the... How does he free the prisoners out of the prison house in Isaiah 42? Very simple. He sets them free by the blood of the Lamb. He sets them free by the Word of God. The Word regarding what? The blood of the Lamb. Grace, mercy, forgiveness, peace. And they're set free because God says, forgiven. God says, forgotten. God says, clean. How many people, and this is interesting how this works, people feel unclean because they've been surrounded by the world. Not so much that they even failed that much in the world, but they've been surrounded by the world. And so they feel unclean because of the world's influences on them, whether they failed or not. The blood of the Lamb makes us clean. Do you understand that? The blood of the Lamb makes us clean. Isaiah 1:18. And when the blood of the Lamb makes us clean, there's no spot or blemish in us. It removes every stain. It removes everything away from us. It removes even the memories of it. It removes everything from us. Because that is what the blood of the Lamb was sent to do. And it is effectual in its working. That is the practical mechanism of the finished work's function in our lives. It's the blood of the Lamb. In the aspects of our lives that deal with our humanity. Now, things like call is a finished work too, and that's not blood of the Lamb. Living in a call is learning how to live in the Word of God. That's not blood of the Lamb. But dealing with who I am as a human being, a fallen, corrupt human being who is the beloved of God, dealing with that is purely the work of the blood of the Lamb. You see, this is why they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they love not their own lives unto the end. That takes care of everything in my life. The blood of the Lamb takes care of my humanity and the weaknesses of the fact that I'm a human being with an old sin nature. That's dealt with by the blood of the Lamb. But how do I live in the kingdom of God? I live in the kingdom of God by the word of my testimony. What is the word of my testimony? The confession that I receive from the Holy Spirit. Spirit leading me all truth as I accept and believe Philippians 4:8 mentality thinking. In other words, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, think on those things. And as I think on those things, they become my testimony. It's amazing what a difference it is when there's a positive testimony or a negative testimony. When I confess positively in faith regarding the Word of God, or when I confess negatively in my sin nature regarding my circumstances, the effect it has on me personally is profound. Because every time I confess negativity, I reinforce the negativity in my life and its effects. Every time I confess the Word of God, the promises of God, the faithfulness or the character of God, it reinforces those things in my life and I live in those effects. But people will say things like, well, I don't really feel it, so I can't say it. Do you know why they say that? Because their feelings are their standard. The Word of God is not. How many times do you say, well, I don't feel it, I can't do that. I don't feel it, I can't say it. I don't feel it, I can't go there. Stop living by your feelings. Nobody ever made your feelings to be the standard. What kind of a standard are your feelings? It's pure subjectivity. But you hear it all the time and you hear it from Christians. Well, I don't feel it, therefore I can't say it. I don't feel it, therefore I can't do it. Because after all, that would be pretending. No, that would be a faith response to truth and not living in your feelings. But if your standard is your feelings, then all you're going to be able to say is, well, I don't feel it. Okay. You feel the pizza you had for dinner last night. That was a little too old. That doesn't matter what you feel. Reality is independent of how you feel. Live in objectivity. The blood of the Lamb cleanses us from all sin. The word of our testimony, which is the word that we have received from God, is that which causes us to live in the practical victory of the throne of grace in my life. In other words, that's how I live with God. So I overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. But then I also overcome the devil by not loving my own life until the end. Why? Because if I don't love my own life unto the end, having that cross in my life gives me no place to the devil to attack. And so I appropriate the effect of the blood, I live in the Word of God producing the throne of grace in my life, and I deny Satan any self-life to attack me in, to get a handle on me in. And in doing this, I overcome the devil. People are like, oh, I'm wrestling with the devil. Sometimes you hear that from time to time. We're fighting the devil. We're taking on the devil. You don't take on the devil. If you try to take on the devil, he'll cream you. He will make you a part of the paint on the pavement. You don't take on the devil. You overcome the devil. You don't touch the devil, and the devil doesn't touch you once you've overcome him. The wicked one touches us not, the Word of God says. Why? Because of the blood of the Lamb. So we live in the blood of the Lamb, and we have not just the remission of sins, but the cleansing of a conscience. The cleansing of a memory. How many people are plagued with memories that God desires to remove from them because they're not reality? Yet they are plagued with them anyway, and they'll say things like, well, I did it, I remember. Your memory is not the standard. And what you remember can be very easily affected by the enemy. You don't cling to those things. You let them go and you get rid of them through the blood of the Lamb. You see, you tend to have more experiences in subjectivity and trust in subjectivity than you do in the blood of the Lamb if you have that kind of thought life. No, you don't live in that sort of subjectivity. You get objective and you trust the Word of God. And when the blood has made me clean, it set me free from those things which made me soiled. And so they no longer have an effect on me. When I live in the Word of God, there is nothing of this world system, there is nothing of Satan's system, there is nothing even of the old sin nature, there is nothing of anybody else, there is nothing that can have any dominion over me. Because the Word of God has dominion over me as it takes the throne in my heart and establishes grace in that place. So I have a throne of grace in my heart where the standard is mercy and loving kindness. And as I live in the standard of grace through the Word of God regulating the way I think, see, there's the problem. Sometimes it's a question of, do I believe the blood of the Lamb? But sometimes it's a different question. Sometimes it's a question of, how do I think? What is it that I've accepted as the premise of my thinking? Many people accept their experiences as the premise of their thinking. In accepting those experiences, their soul is clinging to the dust. And they never learn how to think with the Word of God because the Word of God is not their standard. It is their tool, perhaps. Sometimes they even enjoy it. They can see it even as a weapon. But it's not their standard. It's not the premise, the basis of their thinking. It doesn't become the foundation of their frame of reference. When that takes place, I will not have victory in my thought life. If I don't have victory in my thought life, I can't have victory in any part of my life. And so, I use the Word of God as the premise in my thinking, and I overcome the devil with it. When I don't love my life to the end, temptation finds it very difficult to overcome me. How can temptation overcome someone who's dead? You don't tempt dead people. Anger doesn't overcome me. How is an angry dead person going to get angry? Jealousy doesn't overcome me. How is a dead person jealous? Here's another one. Bitterness cannot overcome a dead person. People are bitter because they don't get what they want. You know what? A lot of people don't get what they want, and it totally destroys their life. Because they think that what they wanted is more valuable than what God has offered them. And they wanted what they wanted, and they didn't get it. And they keep wanting it. And if they don't get it, they're going to become angry, frustrated, hurt, insecure, bitter, jealous, envious, whatever. Because they want what they want, apart from what God is offering. When that takes place, I'm not going to overcome anything. However, when there's an operational cross in my life, which is the life and the consciousness of God overcoming self-consciousness, self-life, replacing those things with God consciousness in God's life, I could have wanted anything I wanted. It's not going to bother me if I don't get it because I've got the only thing that I truly desire. And some people think that things that they desire are very valuable and good because they're in a natural definition, in a natural standard, they are good. Perhaps they wanted a happy family. And so if they didn't get a happy family, they're discontent. They're angry, they're hurt, they're wounded. Perhaps they wanted their parents to be a certain way. There's a lot of people like that. They wanted their parents to be a certain way, and they were not. So they're discontent and they're wounded. And they live in the effects of those wounds where they are paralyzed from a capacity toward God and toward a life with God because they keep clinging to the things that they didn't receive, neglecting on almost their entirety the things that God has done for them. Why? Self-consciousness longing for something apart from God. and calling it good. Well, maybe God had withheld those things to show me that there's something else in my life that I've put ahead of Him. I'm not saying that you'll get what you want if you put Him first, but He does say, seek first the kingdom of God and all things are added unto you. I'm not saying you're going to get the guy or the girl. I'm not saying that you're going to get a healthy relationship with your family. I'm not saying, but seek first the kingdom of God and all things are added unto you. So maybe you're not going to get that guy. You might get God's guy for you. Maybe you're not going to get a restored relationship with your dad or your mom or your siblings or whoever, who it is, a spouse perhaps, a marriage that went bad. Maybe that won't be restored, but maybe God will be your father or your brother or your spouse or whatever it is that's bothering you. Maybe you'll have that sweetness with God instead. But if I'm clinging to the things that I wanted because I wanted them, I'm just elevating myself and rejecting God's provision for me. And I call it good because I've wanted it ever since, and the world says these are good things. And maybe they are good things in and of themselves, but okay, so you didn't get what you wanted. What are you going to do with that? If I just focus on what I wanted but didn't get, then I'm going to live in the defeat of it. And I'll never experience victory. And I can get to the point where I'm so dejected, so frustrated, so bitter, so angry, that it's very easy for the enemy to affect me. And then he starts affecting other people. But I loved my life and the things that I thought would make up my life. Don't love those things. Don't love your natural life. Instead, love the life of God. Instead, love the provisions of God. And when you love those things, when you delight yourself in the Lord, things are added unto you. These things will be given to you. And so, we overcome Him, but it starts with the blood of the Lamb. Why does it start with the blood of the Lamb? Because first, we come out of a situation where we have no faith. Nobody is born again with a capacity for everything. The only capacity a born again person really has at the moment when they are saved is to get saved. And that has to be built in them by sowing and watering. But once that capacity to get saved is in place, they can get saved. But that doesn't now mean that they have a capacity for anything else. And so, the capacity that I need to receive from God is built first by the blood of the Lamb. How? Because the blood of the Lamb takes my soul away from the dust. The blood of the Lamb is what sets me free from the world and all its influences. And therefore, it cannot touch me. The world can no longer touch me. The guilt of the world can no longer touch me. It all comes through the blood of the Lamb. Now, here's the problem. Sometimes, a person becomes a believer and even grows. But they still love the world. And that's a problem. You see, in some cases, they don't want the effect of the blood of the Lamb. Because they loved the world. They loved the way that the world was. They loved operating in the world. They loved the sin that had pleasure for a season. And they loved that season. And they train themselves perhaps in the world to live for that season, to repeat that season over and over again. And when they become born again, they lament the loss of the season. And so they return to it in some cases. And they reject the blood. People like that crucify Christ afresh. You see, it's possible for a believer to be a lover of the world. And you see this sometimes. See it in the way they dress. People who are taught better know better, but they dress provocatively anyway. They love the world. People who are very sensual and seductive, and they are believers who've been taught better, they love the world. Most believers aren't like that, but once in a while you come across one. They love the world. They love the ways of the world. Believers who won't separate themselves from worldliness, who won't separate themselves from alcohol, who won't separate themselves from immorality. They may not live in promiscuity, they're still very provocative in their dress. These kinds of things indicate love of the world. And so we don't enter into the love of the world. We leave the world behind. And we accept the effects of the blood. You see, the blood will change my preferences. The only reason why anybody still has preferences toward the world is because the blood has not changed their preferences. It has not been applied. They still find their identity and their joy in sin. But the blood of God cleanses us from all the effects of sin, including the preferences toward it. And then the cross of Christ keeps me after that takes place. And so, as I gain the Word of God, I learn how to operate and love the effect of the blood and of the cross. Together, they give me victory over the devil. Now, we need victory over the devil, because every single one of us has a personal enemy. And so we need victory over the devil. Let's say that somebody somehow wrongs me. When that takes place, I can be in bondage to the fact that they wronged me. They wounded me, perhaps, and maybe it was genuine wounding. Maybe it was a genuine, bona fide hurt. Love can be hurt. So let's say that it was genuine and bona fide. And I am, in a bona fide sort of way, wounded by someone, although not living necessarily in the effects of the wounds on a daily basis, on an outward basis, but feeling it in my heart. How do I get rid of that? The blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb doesn't just take away my mistakes. The blood of the Lamb takes away everybody else's. And so I appropriate the blood of the Lamb toward me, and I appropriate the blood of the Lamb toward other people, and I don't live in the effects of those mistakes. When that happens, I open up a capacity, because no one can bear a wounded spirit. No one, the Word of God says, no one can bear a wounded spirit. The wounded spirit is dealt with by the blood. In other words, I express faith through the blood in my own thinking, and nothing sticks to anyone. Blood makes us Teflon. It really does. Nothing will stick to us. Somebody throws an accusation against me, it won't stick. But here's the thing, it doesn't bounce either. In other words, I don't return the accusation. I just see it for what it is. I see because I have the Word of God, but because I have the capacity that's produced by the blood for that Word, that I recognize that I don't fight against flesh and blood. I fight against principalities and powers. However, if I'm living in the effects of a wound, I can't appropriate that. Because the wound is always saying to me, this is what happened, this is what they did, this is how you feel about it, this is the effect in your life, live in it. And the blood says, no. The blood says, it is removed from you. So I don't think of anything toward myself in that which is removed from me, but I don't think of anything toward another person in terms of what's been taken away from them. So I don't relate to someone according to what's been taken away from them, and I don't relate to myself according to what's been taken away from me. I live in the pure freedom of the blood of the Lamb. When I have that freedom, then the Word of God can start dominating my heart. It can take its place of dominion on the throne of my heart. And grace is established as my foundation. The finished work is the premise of my thoughts. The Word of God, the promises of God, the definitions of God are the establishment of my thoughts, the premise of my thoughts. The cross of Christ denies the enemy any place to hit me again. He can't grab a hold of anything. Now, he can shoot an arrow at me, but with the cross, there's nowhere to hit. You can try to shoot a dead man all you like, you're not going to hurt him. Dead men are impervious to arrows. There is not one dead person who got hit with an arrow who ever said, ouch. Dead men are impervious to these things. And so we don't return to the effects of that because of the cross. The cross keeps us. The cross keeps us. The blood delivers us. The Word guides us and rules us, and the cross keeps us. In this we find the victory that's found in the blood and the Word and the cross. And we manage to overcome the devil. If we don't learn how to live in this, we'll never experience a victorious Christian life. We need those three components. There's people who love the blood but never get to the cross. There's people who love the blood but never have the Word on the throne of their heart. On the other hand, there's people who love the Word but reject the blood. They know, but they don't experience the victory of what they know because they've never trusted the blood of the Lamb. There's people who love the blood and accept the Word, but because they live in self-orientation, they're taken down every single time. They can't experience the victory. They keep returning to their old ways, their old patterns of thinking, anger, jealousy, hurt, whatever, what have you. They keep returning to those things because the cross is missing. And so there's an entire side to them that's exposed to the arrows of the devil that they have no defense against. Because the cross is their provision for the devil to no longer be able to affect them. And so how does that look? I mean, okay, it looks like this. Somebody has had victory for a little while and they've been thinking right, and all of a sudden some situation comes up, somebody comes their way, certain things come in, and all of a sudden takes them right back down. Insecurity, anger, resentment, bitterness, jealousy, strife, fear, anxiety, what have you, whatever. Here's another one. Remembrance of the past. Well, you don't live in the blood, you don't live in the Word, and you don't live in the cross. Because those three things would eliminate that. You see, there is a way to get that victory that people long for. But the only way to get it is God's way. And God's way is to overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb the Word of God as our testimony, and to not love our own lives unto the end. If we are willing to live in that, we're untouchable. There's absolutely nothing that can happen that can touch us. And the only thing that touches us is the Holy Spirit inside of us. It's the greatest shield ever made. But if we lack those things, we're very easily swayed, very easily challenged, very easily manipulated, very easily turned, very easily intimidated, not just in our decisions, but in our thinking, to the point where we do become hurt or angry or frustrated, resentful, whatever. There's three ways, and they're all necessary: the blood of the Lamb, Word of God, and the cross. Those are the provision. Those are the only provision that God has given for victory. So I live in God's provisions for victory. And if I live in them, I actually do have real, bona fide, effectual victory. But if I reject one of them, there's always going to be frustration and defeat in my life. And victory will always escape me. I'd rather live in victory. I don't need the dust. It didn't taste that good the first time. I don't need to go back to the vomit. It wasn't too pleasant the first time. But I do need that victory, because in that victory is where I experience the life of God and the overcoming of all the things that have put me into some form of bondage. Amen.